falling in love is easy, but staying in love is hard. Someone told me this when I was very young, and I think it is so true, because this is exactly what I experienced with my wife when we were younger. Linda and I were friends since we were in high school. I have a crush on her. Who wouldn't? But it took me over 2.5 years of chasing after her before we finally get together. Why? Well, because she has a lot of concerns to consider before she put a green light on our relationship. First of all, she never expected to marry a pastor. I was not a pastor yet when I knew her. But I have told her that I was going to be one after I graduate. So this was one of the things she needs to take into consideration. She used to have many expectations and fantasy about her future husband. She wants her husband to be good looking. She expects his husband, who is somehow in some kind of professional working in a big company, but never a pastor who would serve in a local church. These were some of her concerns, and they took her almost 2.5 years to consider until one day. Well, it was a normal evening, according to my memory. We had just finished a small group meeting in my friend's place, and we were on our way driving back to Richmond. She was very quiet that evening. When my car arrived at the intersection of 17th Avenue and Oak Street, I turned right, and I'm going to get on the Oak Bridge. Suddenly, she broke the silence and said to me, she said, "Joshua, I think I'm ready." You know, at that very moment, I really did not have any idea what she was talking about. So I asked her back, "Ready for what?" She knew I didn't get it, so she just said it again. I said, "I'm ready." Still, I was clueless. So I asked her again, "Exactly ready for what?" Not until she said, actually, she was very frustrated at that moment. And she said, "I said, I'm ready, fool." I finally got it. She was ready to be with me, and we could finally be together. You know what? I was so happy, and I almost lost the control of the car. So I need to calm myself down, and I pull over my car on the side of the road. Then I took out a cell phone, and I began to call my friends. I have to call my friends. Because I really want everybody to know so that she will not there is no turning back, right? Okay? So I want everybody to know that I finally get this great news, and I finally get a girlfriend. Yeah, Linda said yes. She said yes. And all these years, what I had struggled in the past 2.5 years finally came to an end because she said yes. So my dream just came true, and I really believe that from that day on, we could finally live happily ever after. Is that true? Of course not. Because I was not in a fairy tale. Just a week after, in the same car, we had our first fight. That was our first fight after we start dating. I did not remember what we were fighting about, but I remembered that I did say something not very nice to her, something like, "Wow, it was so stupid to do something like that." But I have to confess, it's not what I meant. I did not mean that she was a stupid, but well, this was just something I would have said to my close friends when something ridiculous happened. But at that moment, she was so sensitive. She thought I despised her and thought that she was stupid. So she was so upset, and she started crying. I cannot stop it. I have no idea what's going on. Of course, finally, I apologized and explained to her that it was not my intention to upset her. Thank God, she accepted my apology. But let me tell you something. From that day on, similar conflicts arose again between us from time to time, and most of our conflicts were actually no big deal. They're just caused by our differences in personalities, growing backgrounds, family backgrounds, food choices, and personal habits, something practical that we encounter every day. And this is exactly, I think, why my friend said, falling in love is easy, but staying in love is hard. Because when you enter a relationship, you encounter a lot of practical challenges in that relationship. All these conflicts finally triggered me to ask Linda one simple question. I asked her, what kind of concerns exactly did you have before you decided that we could be together? And she gave me an answer which I have never, ever expected. She said, most of her concerns were not about me. She said she had accepted who I was a long time ago. Her concerns were more about herself. She knew herself so well, and she was aware that there were so many bad habits and bad personality inside her, which she was so sure that they would damage our relationship. She really didn't want them into our relationship. So she made a decision. She decided to put all these bad habits and personalities away first before she let this relationship start. She asked God to give her strength to let them go. She also prayed to God that He would transform her life and replace those bad habits and characters with good habits and characters so that they could bring goodness and blessing to our relationship. After I heard what she said, I was so touched by her honesty and seriousness about our relationship, but also her willingness to give herself up just because of me. Falling in love is easy, but staying in love is hard. Not because there is no love between two people, but because it is too hard, just too hard, to give up yourself for others. It is too hard for you to give up your self-centeredness. When I talk about giving up self-centeredness, I'm not referring to something big. I'm just referring to those little things happens in our everyday life. Who is going to cook tonight? Who will do the dishes after? How would you treat your spouse and your in-law? When conflict arises, how would you solve it? Would you deal with it with patience and kindness? Or would you deal with it with your own way without putting yourself into your spouse's shoes and considering her feeling? Would you think that you are always right and your spouse is always wrong? You know, a couple of years ago, I made a big mistake on my wife's birthday, which was I did not celebrate her birthday. Wow, it's a death sentence, okay? Well, not because I forgot. Only because I did not pay much attention on that. Well, I'm not even a person who takes very seriously on celebrating my own birthday. Why? You know, this is how I was brought up. My parents did not even celebrate their own birthday. They would bring their own parents out for dinner because they thought it was the day their mom and dad brought them into the world. So instead of celebrating their own birthday, they went to give thanks to their parents. They treat them a nice dinner. It was my family culture. And I was used to this culture for my whole life. That's the reason why I did not pay much attention to celebrate birthdays. So obviously, my wife was very upset. So she tries to talk to me, share about her feeling. She wants me to understand how upset she was. But you know what? What made things worse was that I tried to reason with her. I tried to reason with her that she should not be upset. I tried to reason with her that she should do the same thing as me. Go out. Treat your parents a good dinner. Don't ask me to celebrate your birthday. We are not going to do that. It makes things worse, yeah. Another death sentence. It did not help one bit for reasoning, you know. My wife was not only upset. After the reasoning part, she was angry. She was so angry with me. I thought, come on, don't be so oversensitive. But you know what? When I calm myself down and I tried to put myself into her shoes, I discovered that it was totally my fault, right? Yeah. Yeah. My problem is that I wrongly assumed that she had the same family culture as mine. I wrongly assumed that she was having the same idea about birthdays as me. But the fact is, she did not, because she is not me. Of course, I have my own reason. I always think my reason is better and justified. But I was self-centered. I'm so self-centered. I'm just thinking about myself. What I was trying to do is to impose my views on her without any respect of her feelings. And that hurts our relationship. It was not the reason behind that damaged the relationship. Always, it was the self-centered. So imagine if one day my wife do the same thing to me. And we both self-centered. And we both cannot put ourselves down, give ourselves up, in such a way that we only choose to use our own method, our own view, to deal with conflicts without listening to others, would it be possible for us to maintain this relationship? But thank God, because our God teaches us in a different way. He does not want us to be self-centered. On the contrary, He wants us to learn how to give ourselves up for our spouse. The scripture said in the book of Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Friends, what does that mean? It means that if today you are a husband or a wife, you need to learn how to give yourself up for your spouse in a way like Jesus, who also gave himself up for the church. The Bible is using the sacrifice of Christ that he made to the church as the foundation of the marriage relationship. How did Jesus give himself up to the church? Well, it is a simple answer. You should know that. He gave up his life and was nailed on the cross. He did this when we were still sinners, right? He made this sacrifice not because we were worthy for that, but because of his promise of love to us, no matter who we are and whatever we did in the past. And through this sacrifice today, if we accept it, through this sacrifice on the cross, we can once again come close to the Father God and be accepted as his children. That's the gospel. That's what he did on the cross. And Jesus gave himself up for us. Why? Only because he loves us so much. So if today you are asking me, About how God wants us to treat our marriage, I think my answer would be very straightforward. Love your wife and husband and give yourself up for her and him because Jesus once gave himself up for you too. He did not give up his earthly life for you, but also he gave up his heavenly glory. He gave up his almighty power and be limited in this body. Like the Bible said, he gave up his form of God, being born in the likeness of man, and emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Brothers and sisters, if you are married today, do you still remember your vow to your spouse on your wedding day? Do you still remember what you said to your wife and husband before the priest? Do you still remember what you said to her or him? I still remember what I said to my wife. You want to hear it? I said, I, Joshua Chow, freely and with love and sincere desire, take you, Linda Law, to become my wedded wife from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death. Do you still remember? This is my vow to my wife. And I remember that my wife also made the same vow to me. But my friend, do you know what does this vow mean? We always say this in the ceremony. But do you know what does this vow mean? Most of the people seldom think about its meaning after the wedding day. They just think that, wow, I'm getting married. I want to finish the whole thing as soon as possible. But never think about what that vow means. You know, this vow is not about how you will treat your wife and husband when they become poor, sick, or their lives get worse. No, this is not the idea. The core idea of this vow is about whether you are willing to give yourself up for her or him in your everyday life just because you promised once that you will always love her no matter what. You promised once to love her. So are you willing to give up your stubbornness for her? You promised to cherish her. So are you willing to give up your self-centeredness for her? Are you willing to humble yourself when you are wrong? You know, this is very important. Why? Because the Bible says. Let's look at the Bible again. Ephesians chapter 5, 25, 25 to 33. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved his church and gave himself up for her. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are the members of the body. The Bible here gave us two illustrations. First, it encouraged us to love our wife and husbands and give ourselves up for her or him, because this was exactly what Jesus did to the church. And then it again, encouraged us to cherish our husbands and wives, because no one would hate and ignore his own body, but nourish and cherish it. What exactly does it mean? If you can read between the lines, it is indeed not difficult for you to understand the message behind. The reason, listen to this, the reason you want to give yourself up for your spouse is because what you gave up today will eventually nourish your marriage relationship tomorrow. One more time. what you gave up today will eventually nourish your marriage relationship tomorrow. Imagine, when you cherish your body, you want to keep it in a good shape. What will you do? You will give yourself good nutrition. You will let your body to have enough rest. You will do exercise every day. You will pick up good habits in order to keep your body healthy, right? But my question is that enough? Is that enough? Is that all you can do? No. In order to keep your body healthy, not only you have to pick up good habits, but also you have to give up bad habits that may harm your body at the same time, right? You have to give up staying up late. You have to give up eating too much. You have to give up having too much junk food in order to keep your body in a healthy condition. You have to both pick up the good habits and at the same time give up the bad habits. So when you are asked to give up your bad habits for your wife or for your husband, is that a sacrifice? Yes and no. But what you give up today for your body will eventually make your body healthier. And what you give up today for your spouse will eventually nourish your marriage relationship. So it works for the body. It also works for your marriage. You have to give up those things that will harm your relationship in order to nourish your marriage relationship. So you think about it. What are they? What do you need to give up today in order for you to nourish your marriage relationship tomorrow? Is this your present living style? Is this some of your personality? Is this a way of doing things that I used to do? Is it your attitude of treating people? Is this your hot temper, your stubbornness, your self-centeredness, or whatever characters you have now which might damage any relationship? Friends, do you really believe that building up a marriage relationship does not cost you any change? Do you really believe that building up a long-lasting marriage relationship do not need you to give up anything? Do you believe that you can put your marriage on an auto mode and that you do not need to do anything intentionally and everything will be just be fine? I do not believe so. I believe that we have to take initiative and intentionally to learn how to give ourselves up for our spouse, the one we promise to love, in order to build up and nourish a long-term marriage relationship. Not just one party to give up, but both. And if both parties, husband and wife, are willing to give himself and herself up for one another, imagine what kind of marriage would they be able to build. At the end of my sermon, I would like to introduce a couple to you. I heard their story from a friend of mine weeks ago. The reason I want to share with you their story is because I was really amazed by their marriage relationship. They were encouraged by the sacrificial love of Christ. And because of this love, they are motivated. They are motivated to love one another. Not only did they fall in love, but they also stayed in love, even though they encountered great difficulties in their relationship. Their names are called Jack and Virginia. Well, they are currently, they are retired. They are right now living in Alberta. And I would like to share their story with you. But unfortunately, their story is in Chinese. But I add an English subtitle on it so that if you can, all you can understand. But I think this is a very touching story. So let us take a look at their story.
昨晚我發咗一個夢，我見到一道好靚嘅彩虹，我想知道彩虹嘅盡處係乜嘢。於是我揸車一路向住彩虹，一直行，一直行。但無論我揸到幾快，去到幾遠。 彩虹依然喺我前面，之后我就醒咗。
At the end of a river, the water stops its flow. At the end of a highway, there's no place you can go. But just tell me.
我叫做李显华。 坐喺我侧边嘅咧就系我太太文晶晶。2011年嘅圣诞节，我哋去咗预备退休之前嘅旅行，目的地就系夏威夷。而呢次嘅旅行改变咗我哋整个人生。你知唔知我系边个啊？你知唔知我系边一个啊？
唔好吓我啊！佢完全冇乜反应，更加呆咁望住我，好清楚佢系唔知我系边个。李先生啊，你太太脑部感染嘅咧，系疱疹性脑炎，主要影响佢嘅记忆力同埋说话能力。医
生同我讲，我太太可能翻唔到屋企啦，30% 嘅机会咧，佢会死喺夏威夷。
Hi, I'm Brian, and Jack is my father. I study music, and I've been studying music for 22 years. I wanted to study music ministry. I didn't know how I could possibly tell my parents because I knew that they weren't going to be very happy. But the moment that my mom got sick, I think my opportunity passed.
Hi. Hello.
My name is Veronica. Jack Lee is my dad. I got engaged right before we went to Hawaii.
你知唔知我系边一个？我不知道啊。我系李显华，我系你老公。你一定是我的。
In March, when my popo started to bleed a little more and was taken to the hospital, that's when I asked my dad if we needed to postpone the wedding because mom was still not out of the hospital. We didn't know when she was going to be out of the hospital.
In夏威夷医院嘅intensive care unit 里边，第10日，我朝头早起身，突然间有首歌涌流喺我脑海嗰度。第二次出现呢首歌嘅时候，佢系个。 Therapist 唱俾我太太听。 You know what? I wonder if there's anything else that you could do for her today.
At this point, I'm not sure what else we could try.
You know, she's into music. I wonder if you can sing a song for her.
Oh, I can try. Yeah, I could try to sing a song for her.
Are you a singer?
Well, I sang at someone's wedding this weekend.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
Oh, I could try to sing that song.
Sure.
Okay. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas.
咁嗰陣時，嗰個 therapist 同我講，佢好感動。 佢話好彩，我上個禮拜冇完成咗我報告。呢個報告會決定我太太會入長期護理啊，定係有康復嘅機會。佢出院嗰個禮拜，啱啱可以參加到我個仔嗰個 concert。 而歌咏團喺6個月之前決定咗叫我仔唱首歌《You Raise Me Up》。
And that was a coincidence? No. I think that's God's timing. That's God's work. Not only was I able to see the work within a 6-month period of just one song, but I was able to see my mom in the audience. Watch me sing because she's never missed a concert of mine.
You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas.
你叫什么？我太太个情形，可能一世都系要照顾。咁要一生照顾一个病人。 我愿唔愿意？咁每一次即系谂翻呢件事嘅时候咧，嗰个 motivation come back 就因为记得个婚约。我李显华。 愿意娶你文征征为妻，愿意一生爱护你，保护你，尊重你，能够爱一个可爱嘅人，我谂好容易，个个都可以做。当呢个可爱嘅人冇以前咁可爱嘅时候，愿意去爱咧，呢个就系爱嘅考验。
And every day, I would see my dad wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he'd cook breakfast. He'd spend the rest of the day in the hospital with my mom. He'd come back, cook dinner, and he wouldn't sleep till 11, 12 o'clock at night. And I'd see this day in, day out, for months, for 2 years. I see him bend down and pray. I'd see him every day, and it really hit me in how I want to serve my life.
无论是富贵或者贫穷，生死与共，疾病相扶，直至你见主耶稣面，是福是祸，生死与共，疾病相扶。 所有嘢都要过去，唯有信望爱系永远长存，而呢个信望爱就喺我哋呢个肉身嘅生命里边可以经历到嘅。
Find a pot of gold.
of a story. You'll find it's all been told, but our love has a treasure.
在这些日子里面，祝福很多，伤害都很多，但是我学习了什么叫不爱是不计算的。听说原来这个爱就是牺牲的爱，这个牺牲爱的源头原来是主耶稣基督牺牲的爱。
There's no place you can go, but just tell me you love me, and you are only mine, and our love will go on till the end of time.
I just want to let you know that they are not actors. They are the real persons. Jack and Virginia will come to Vancouver very soon, and they were going to share their story fully with people here. So if you really want to meet them, yeah, I will let you know. And also next year, the organization, Media Evangelical Association, we're going to put their story in a movie. So that next year, you will also heard about this movie, and I encourage you to bring couples and families to go and share their story. Well, I know it is not easy. When we talk about we give up ourselves to our spouse, it is not easy. It is not easy to give up ourselves up, even though it is for the persons, once we promise to love forever. Well, no one said it is easy. But today, I want to encourage you. And what I want to encourage you is that it is not easy, but it is possible. It can be done. Jack has done it. And he is keep doing it. Not by his own strength, but by the power and the motivation from the love of Christ. It is the love of Christ that motivates him to give himself up to Virginia. Yes, falling in love is easy. Staying in love is hard. But it can be done because Jesus has done for us already. So today the question is, are you willing to try? Do you believe it? Are you willing to humble yourself in your marriage? Are you willing to give yourself up and put down your self-centeredness for your husband and wife? What you give up for them today will eventually nourish your marriage tomorrow. Do you believe it? If you are willing to do it and you want to give it a try with your spouse next to you, why don't we pray? And let us ask our Lord to help us, to give us strength. Let our marriage be built on the foundation of His sacrificial love for us. If you want to do it, I encourage you to pray with me now, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for what you have done for us on the cross. We are not worthy for that, but you did it anyway, because of your promise that you will love us always, no matter who we are, no matter what we did. And today, through your sacrificial love for us, you teach us how to love our wife and husband. You know, We are a group of people full of witnesses. You know, we are always self-centered. But today, when we come to you, we ask for your help wholeheartedly. We ask for your grace to renew us and transform our lives. Lord, let us have the strength to give ourselves up for our spouse. Let us have the motivation to give up our self-centeredness. Let us be encouraged by your sacrificial love. Let us be blessed. And so we will be the blessing of our family. Lord, listen to our prayer. Lord, come to us. Help us. Transform us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for listening to our prayer. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's rise. Let us respond to his love. We can love because our God loved us first. So, Lord, we give thanks to you. Let's sing. I could sing of your love forever. 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 One more time. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open. Daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. Yeah. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. Mountains and sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. Yeah, I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. All I feel like dancing is foolishness, I know. When the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we dancing now. I can sing of your love forever. Your love's so amazing. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love. Sing of your love forever.
because your love. I could sing of your love forever. We could endure suffering. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Yes, Jesus, you are the source of love. We give thanks to you. Yes, even in times of trouble, it's so hard to love one another, or it's so hard to show love. But Lord, we know that we can hold on to you because you're the light. You're the source of love. So let your love flow into our hearts like the river we just sang. So Lord, we give thanks to you. This is our prayer. May we be blessed with your love as we walk out of service today. In Jesus' name we pray.